Welcome to the Alpha Female Podcast with me, your host, Robin Baldwin. This show is to inspire you to embrace living like an alpha female. But what is an alpha female? An alpha female is a powerful and assertive woman. Her confidence is due to being an intelligent and intellectual problem solver. She chooses ambition and is proud of it, but strives for a happy and healthy work-life harmony. An alpha female puts herself first, sticks to her priorities, but nurtures relationships with all the people in her life. So let's get started. This episode of the Alpha Female Podcast is sponsored by my Work-Life Harmony Worksheet. I finally made it, and I'm so excited to share it with you. I took the Building Blocks of Health Guide and improved it, added more to it. So you're getting a PDF that has each of the sections of our Building Blocks of Health. It asks you questions to spark ideas of maybe where you want to optimize your life. And then it gives you time management and planning tips on how to actually get that scheduled in your month and in your week. So head on over to bit.ly/work-life-harmony-worksheet. That's bit.ly/work-life-harmony-worksheet to get your copy today. If you're listening to this show, you've been drawn to being inspired on how to create work-life harmony in your life. And by now, you're probably aware that I'm a doTERRA essential oil wellness advocate, but I'm stepping into this role in a much louder way this year. I'm obsessed with essential oils as simple self-care tools in our toolkit. doTERRA is the only company who sources essential oils by finding the best place in the world that the original plant grows through something called co-impact sourcing. They have incomparable transparent testing practices to create therapeutic-grade essential oils, and they have a heart of gold through their charitable division, Healing Hands. If you haven't had a chance to sample doTERRA essential oils yet, I'd love to send you a few samples. So email me at robinbaldwin@gmail.com and put in the subject, I want oils, so we can start to chat around what your body is currently craving in the self-care department. You are listening to the Alpha Female Podcast, episode 161. All links and show notes can be found at robinbaldwin.com/podcast. Today on the show, we're talking to Maddie Moon. Maddie is a walking permission slip, soul igniter, and devoted teacher. Her mission is to see into the truth of those who are a full body yes to releasing societal expectation, feel all the feels, soften into their being, and acknowledge their deepest truth. Little excites her as much as helping take charge women with a black and white mentality, who of course are always on the go, learn how to soften into their feminine flow. Using a powerhouse of tools to teach the art of acceptance, Maddie will expose you to your divine feminine and masculine, your light and dark sides, and your own unique pathway to inner healing. No one way of living, thinking, and feeling is off limits, and Maddie's desire is to help you feel this truth to the core through transformational experiences such as spiritual healing, business coaching, dream building, relationship creating, toxic thought detoxing, and human design learnings. Through her weekly podcast, Mind Body Musings, her online platform at maddiemoon.com, and ongoing retreats, thousands have come to self-reclamation and personal freedom. And she's asking you, are you next? So we just finished recording and I had to record her bio right away. Sometimes I don't record them at the same time as the interview. And my brain hurts, but in a good way. Like there was so much information, so many aha moments, so many like mind-blowing moments. Maddie has been really, really studying a masculine and feminine energy. She talks about lineages and names that I've never heard of before. I'll definitely make sure they're linked in the podcast notes, but I can't wait for you to listen to this episode. So I'm going to stop talking so we can get right into the show. Welcome, Maddie, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to dive into everything. You are my last guest in the Masculine and Feminine Energy series, and Kelly Tennant, one of my previous guests, recommended me. She said, you have to have Maddie on the show.
I love her. She's so wonderful.
So when I sent over the definition of what an alpha female is according to this community and just read it to you before we started recording, what do you think of it and how do you see yourself as one?
Well, what comes up for me in part one of your question is that I think the definition that you've crafted here feels very, all the bases feel very covered, which I think is really beautiful and thorough because there's so many different ripples within what it means to be a female in general. There's so many different facets and very interesting evolutions of our spirits and our souls. And one of the words that you've used that I've used in my teachings in the feminine and the masculine for years has been harmony. And I love that that made it into your definition just because this is always going to be a harmony. So many people, especially feminine beings striving, or females, I should say, striving for more of the feminine and masculine, being the main energy of a man, it's always going to be a pulse, right? And a harmony that we're creating day to day about what energy we need. It's not always going to be the feminine. Sometimes it really is the masculine energy that we need in order to kick butt in our business and kick butt in our family circles and our friendships. So I love harmony. And I think how it applies to me, the word alpha doesn't really ring in my heart at this particular moment. And that's because I do so much of this polarity work with men, of us doing energetic agility, which we can talk about later. And that is when you switch between alpha and omega to create sexual polarity with someone. And to answer your question, in my own personal life, in the bedroom that I'm sitting in right now, in my living room, I am my own alpha. Absolutely. Every single thing that is in that definition is how I am living my life. And the awesome thing is that we can, depending on what a moment needs, go into our omega. And that, I think, is the most powerful alpha female, is whenever she's consciously choosing for the sake of the moment, when she wants to let go and receive and surrender and be energy and chaos and divine love and bliss and all those juicy things that make the feminine the feminine. And it's with sovereignty and with decision making, right? Saying, okay, I'm an alpha woman that is really headstrong, and I can build a business. Or if you're not building a business, I can be so on top of things with raising my kids and sticking to times on my calendar, and I can do all this stuff. But for the sake of the moment, I'm making this choice to totally surrender and not do all of that and just let go and go into omega, because that's what sounds juicy. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's what's coming up for me right now.
Yeah, of course. I love that harmony resonates with you. It's fascinating. After maybe like 2 years of the show, I would have a lot of guests reach out, say that they wanted to come on the show, take a look. I'm like, yep, they're totally an alpha female. Let's get them on. But I would have to do kind of like housekeeping items beforehand. One was to let them know that the show was about work-life harmony and not work-life balance, and that that old way of thinking doesn't serve a lot of people. And I'm really trying to show people that it's really about priorities and choices and lifestyle design in a way that allows you to be happy and healthy. And the healthy is really important to me, so that, you know, you're not reaching burnout, you're not running yourself into the ground. But then it's also evolved into this energy harmony as well. So harmonizing between the alpha and the female, or as you so eloquently put it, the omega. So in the earlier episodes in this series, we've talked about how masculine and feminine energy has so many different names in different cultures, from sun and moon energy to Shiva and Shakti to yin and yang. But we haven't really dived into alpha and omega. So it would be kind of cool if you could give us a little bit of history, or maybe just a little bit more around that to help people understand it.
So I'd first like to give my definitions of the masculine and feminine, or we could say alpha and omega, but I typically do say feminine and masculine. But I have a feeling that the way I'm going to describe it might be a little bit different than your previous guests. I'm not quite sure, but I come from the lineage of David Deida, and my teachers studied directly with him, John Wineland, Kendra Kunov. I don't know if that's of the lineage that you've been talking about, but in this particular lineage, the masculine is consciousness. It is nothingness. It's emptiness. It's time. It's space. It's death. It's the absence of energy and of life, technically, which we can go totally into. I know it's like, what? So the feminine is everything that flows into that. It is energy. It is the ups and downs, the chaos, the tsunami, the jungle. It's like all this life. So in some ways, even when we think about I don't have an exact way to put this yet, but in some ways, yang energy really is a feminine energy. It is out there. It's crazy. It's emotional. It's ups and downs. It's like we are led by, when we are really in our feminine, we are led by the energy that's rippling through us, aka our emotions. So ecstatic dance, if we were actually to look at this in a physical way, that would be ecstatic dance. When we go into ecstatic dance, we are so in our feminine. We're letting our intuition, our bodies, our movements move us, guide us. That's also wisdom, because wisdom lives within the body. And then on the opposite side, when you take all of that away, you have nothingness, you have silence, you have peace, you have quiet. It's the end of a fight. No more fighting. We've wrapped it up and the bow is tied. We're done with that. Like the masculine energy craves that. It craves to be done with things. Like no more of this, because it loves silence. It loves when it's just everything is quiet and peaceful. And that's not to say men, right? Like my father is the most blah, 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 blah. Like he has so much feminine energy. He doesn't realize it and he would never admit it, but he does. But when we're going deep into our masculine, like if we were to look at the opposite of ecstatic dance, that would be nothingness, right? So meditation. It would be the absence of being totally like, whoa, all of our feelings and moving all around. It would be stillness. It would be meditation. It would be going deep, deep, deep into that space of nothingness, because it's consciousness, which is also, when we look at it more in practical terms, it is the master of time and space. That's something that John and David Deida and all of them talk about all the time. It is what it is, the person in any relationship dynamic that says, okay, baby, we're going out tonight. I want you to be ready by 7 p.m. I will pick you up. We're going to go out for a few hours. We'll come back home. We'll watch a movie. We'll go to bed and it'll be a great night. It's like guidance, direction, because that right there, I have a feeling a lot of women, like women, or I'll say feminine beings, we crave that, because that kind of structure just allows us to, get all juicy and flowy, because we know we have a container to be held inside of. So when we have that, it's, we're no longer like, oh my God, am I going to get lost in this pleasure and bliss forever all night long? And like, not that we're actually wondering that, because most of us are so in our masculine that we like, we do that. We set the time and space. But whenever we have someone else do that for us, it's really quite a gift for everyone, because we get to surrender and let go and save our time and space setting abilities for what truly matters, like our businesses, our family life, the meetings we got to make, everything. And then we can just relax into like this beautiful blissful state of omega, which is receptivity, so that an alpha figure in our life can be the master of time and space, and we can be the energy. We provide the energy, because the masculine craves energy more than anything. That's why they're so entranced by feminine creatures, because they provide like light and brightness and emotion and rage and sadness in like ways that they can't really access, or they don't have the tools to access, or whatever it may be. It's not that they can't, but if they're in their masculine, for the most part, they light up, like body physically feels opened when they see a feminine being in all that she is and bringing her emotions, as long as it is heart connected, right? And she's like connected to her heart and not shutting off her heart, because then it can be very confusing.
Okay. There's so much in there. Okay. I'm going to come back to habits and like what you can do to be in either energy. And I want to definitely come back to talking about being too much in one energy and an imbalance. But on your podcast, The Mind Body Musings, you have an episode that deliciously describes masculine and feminine energy around rivers. Can you take us into that so that someone that needs like a visual concept can understand the energy in terms of this analogy?
Yes, yes. I have a second analogy too that I'll add, if that's okay.
Okay.
Because I came up with another one. I really like it. It's just kind of weird. But yes, so water on its own. Let's say if we were to have river water without the bed, right? It would just like be flat, just go all over the place. And if it's an endless source of water, like an ocean, it would have no container. So just keep going. Like, we need it to be held. The feminine, all of this energy, the vastness, the depth, the ripples, the waves, we want this to feel safe. We want this to feel contained so it can live somewhere, so it feels free to have ripples and waves. How scared would an ocean be if it didn't have that? I would think pretty freaking scared. Like it wouldn't be an ocean anymore. That's what makes an ocean so beautiful. It is in one specific place being held. It's there. It's consistent. It's forgiving. It's reliable. Thank goodness for the ocean bed, but we're looking at a river now. So in a river, it's the same exact thing. It's flowing, it's moving, it's grooving, and it's safe because it's being held by the bed. And so the river bed, the rocks, the gravel, the earth underneath the river, underneath the water, is holding it, keeping it contained. That is how we live our lives as human beings. We have all this energy, and we need, or most of us desire, to have it contained in a way that is with love. And I think sometimes I'm feeling it right now. When we say the word contained, it almost feels like a prisoner, but that's not at all what this word means. This means contained as in safety net, being held, being cradled, like a mother or father cradles their baby. Right? You can fully surrender and let go when you know you're being held. That is what we need for our emotions to be released, is knowing that there is, when we're looking back at Master of Time and Space, knowing that there is a stop-ish and a start-ish. It doesn't mean that the feelings go away, but it means that the total embodiment of them might be a little bit more contained. And so I'll explain my other analogy for this is, so many women are craving to go deep into their feminine energy because we've had that shut off. Your emotions are crazy. You're crazy. No one gets you. Like, I hang out with guys. I don't get along with girls. We were born with competition with women. We were born with competition and limiting beliefs about being a woman, about our emotions, about fully claiming our capacity to love, and somewhere along the way, our vastness as women to always crave more and more love was made wrong. And so many of us have turned all of this off. And so we're craving to go back into our feminine, rightly so. And yet, we cannot skip over the very, very important piece of also cultivating our masculine. Because if we did that, it would almost be like dropping a human being in this, on top of this island that was surrounded by cliffs with a blindfold on. And we said, dance your heart out, do your ecstatic dance, just you're free, like you're run wild. If you have a blindfold on, and all you know is that you're on a cliff, you're probably not going to even take one step forward because you don't know if you're going to fall off that cliff. Now, if you were like, hey, master, could you please put a fence around me? That'd be pretty sweet. I'd feel really safe if I had a fence around me. Then I would know I'm safe. I'll dance. I'll be free. I'll be open. That's like the masculine containing us, saying, if we're going to go deep into our emotions and to feel and to express, we want this container. Does this container live outside of us? No, not one bit. That is why this is so important to look at this dynamic in our own bodies first. We have this, like,
partners and the friends.
Right. Always. Anything outside is always like this beautiful bonus that makes it even better. It's even better to be witnessed by another person that can hold you. But the only way you can fully be able to be held by someone else safely is to know you're always going to be holding yourself regardless, because you don't know if they're equipped to do that. You don't know if they're being triggered by that. You don't know how long they're going to stay. You never know. You never have guarantees. But you always know you can hold that for yourself. So everything else is beautiful, blissful, can take us deeper. But you can take yourself very deep in that container and in that energy on your own.
So would you say, I'm going to warrant a guess that because I'm very much in my masculine energy, I attract a lot of other alphas to the show. And we're craving learning how to be more in our feminine energy. And sometimes we're looking for that more in our relationships than in within ourselves. So in terms of we're looking to harmonize masculine and feminine energy in a relationship, sometimes before we try to harmonize it within ourselves. Do you see that a lot with the people that you work with?
Yes. Yes. And in some ways, this can end up being codependency, right? Because you're like, you're my partner, you be my masculine, you hold my container. And as Kendra and John will always talk about, how that is relayed to a masculine figure, someone really in their masculine. And this example I'll give is like male. Not always is, but in this particular case, that is relayed to his nervous system as burden. Because a masculine creature is so focused on their purpose, on their mission, on their direction. And sometimes, you know, that will lead to a woman feeling like she's second. That's just how it is. Because a woman is always craving, or the feminine is always craving more love. And the masculine is craving more purpose. And so if you're with a man who is really in his masculine, like that is what he is primarily, is a masculine emotional body, you may also need to understand that sometimes he will be so focused on purpose and you're so focused on love that there may feel like there is a disharmony there, but there really isn't. You've just so happened to find a masculine being who is like living his purpose. And so that's why you have to respect and honor your deep, deep, deep desire for more and more love and not put it on him to make it his responsibility to, quote, fix it. Because for someone in their masculine, they already feel, and I'm sure you relate to this being in your masculine, burdened by life sometimes, because you are the master of time and space. You're on top of it. You're setting interviews. You're putting together the podcast. You're coaching people. You're making programs. Sometimes to your nervous system, it feels like burden. Doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's burden. Like we're carrying a very big weight on us to keep our shit together.
I wonder if it's because, and we haven't really dived into it with any of the guests around the whole misunderstandings between masculine and feminine energy and genders, and taking that out of the equation so that it's just simply within yourself, I think erases the conversation for a moment, kind of just puts the conversation around energies within a partnership kind of in a drawer and just parks it for a bit so that my listeners can think about it in terms of themselves. And I think you'll giggle because for the longest time, I had an understanding, because I haven't really dived into this work, that masculine energy was due energy, which is still true to my understanding. It's like get stuff done, task focused, purpose focused, as you have used today. And I always thought feminine energy was like stillness, being. And my past guest, Betsy Milne, kind of laughed at me when I said I was like so proud that I had cultivated a beautiful meditation practice. And she's like, babe, that's still you and you're masculine. I was like, oh, like the concept of movement, it wasn't clear until this series, which I'm absolutely loving. So I'm assuming that a lot of my listeners were like, oh, I thought I just had to be still. And that was me and my feminine energy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had a coaching call, like at the very beginning of working with someone, and they've just been like, I'm really trying to cultivate my feminine energy. I am like sleeping more and I'm meditating more and I'm just like staring at candle flames. And I'm like, oh goodness, like you are like, so it's, I get, because also that can in some ways feed in. Because whenever you are clearing the mind, you can access the body more. So it does do some feminine work there. It's just not a feminine practice.
Yeah. What I've learned, though, that I'm learning to be in my divine masculine versus wounded. And that was really interesting to dive into divine versus wounded in the episode with Betsy, because that made me realize the things that I were doing, which were in wounded energy versus divine. So, you know, getting angry or frustrated when someone doesn't complete a task like I would like them to is wounded masculine energy versus holding space and patience for coaching someone is in divine. And so I've absolutely loved that, because that's brought a perspective around the energy within myself versus saying like, okay, if I'm in my masculine, then I need to find people that I work with or partners or friendships that are more in another energy to harmonize with me. And that was like, no. So I love that you've brought this conversation kind of back to how to do it within yourself. So can you maybe give us some examples of recognizing when an energy is imbalanced? And are there easy tips and tricks that you could use to like balance a masculine energy imbalance and then balance a feminine energy imbalance?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So let me fill into this. Let me think about the feminine one. Well, something that comes up for me, I don't think there's anything quite easy about any of this work, as much as we wish, but a lot of things that I see within the feminine, and I'm sure that considering your definition on the alpha female, this has been something you've explored yourself, but we as feminine beings feel like it is our duty often to give. To give, give, give. And that's the culture we live in also. We were born into this world thinking that our gift is physically giving over our time, our bodies, our energy, energy as in time and working and like so many different expectations on us to be everything, to be now bringing home the bacon, also making babies, also looking a certain way, also going to work but not going to work, and having the right amount of friends, and now building businesses online, and to have our brand on point, to be on social media everywhere but not because that's rude. Like, there's just so many different expectations, and I would say this is on humans in general, but of course there is a very specific target on women in a lot of different arenas, especially weight and body image, all of this. So notice where in your life you feel the itch, the need to consistently be giving over and saying yes to everything, because there's something wildly sacred about no. When you're saying the sacred no, you're saying the sacred yes to everything that does deserve your time and attention and is important to you. Otherwise, we become martyrs. And underneath that layer is resentment. We're saying yes to things that we want to be saying no to, and we're creating resentment, even though we have the capability to nip all of that in the bud. But you will experience some emotions that may not feel delightful. And that's why we keep saying yes to things, because we don't want to feel what we will feel when we start saying no. Like we're letting others down, like failure, like we're not keeping up with the Joneses or the other B schoolers or whoever it is that we're comparing ourselves to. When we say no, we're going to go through a shift. But that shift is literally going through the realm of scarcity to abundance. When you start to believe and understand and know, you don't need to be saying yes to all these different things. And that's when you're starting to cultivate. Like, that is working through your wounded feminine to not say yes to everything. But guess what you're using in order to do that? Your masculine. Your masculine is your aid because he is purpose focused, purpose driven. And I'm saying he, and that's an energy within you, he within you. Getting really clear on how you want to be clearing. I just did a course, and in the very first module, I call this clearing the muck. There is this beautiful pond that is our life, bringing back this analogy of the water. And along our lifetime, we've had this muck being covered the pond. And what we need to do on a micro and macro level, so daily, every moment, seasonally, yearly, at different stages of our life, is constantly clearing that muck and letting go of what is no longer serving us, and allowing ourselves to experience the super uncomfortable feelings that go along with that, and not making them wrong and not making us wrong.
What about control? Is that wounded feminine or wounded masculine when we're, and I'll use it from like a work perspective, like we don't know how to delegate, or from a life perspective, you know, we are working our butts off and we're trying to have babies at the same time. So we're trying to control that entire journey. We're scheduling everything out. We're taking our temperatures. You know, we're doing all those things. We're trying to control. I just listened to Oprah Soul Sessions. It was Gabby Bernstein's Universe Has Your Back, where she talks about her fertility journey and like trying to control the entire process and schedule it out like she schedules a launch. Is that wounded feminine or wounded masculine?
I would say it's wounded feminine, and here is why. In all of my intensives that I've gone to, I have never heard when the left side of the room where all the women are and the right side of the room where all the men are, I've never heard all the men raise their hands and share questions and have multiple of them saying, I just want to have everything under control. I have never in my life heard a single man say that, ever. But whenever it's the left side of the room, it's consistently that same problem that pops up over and over and over and over again, needing the control. Because it's a really good question. I had to think for a second, like, huh, is that feminine or masculine? And I would absolutely say feminine, because there's an if then kind of scenario. If I don't do this, then all of these things will happen. And for the most part, I don't believe that that is typically a constant hamster wheel of thoughts that are going through the masculine's minds of, if I'm not doing these things perfectly or right, then I will lose love, right? It's like, then I'm may not be quite on purpose, but I'll find a new purpose, or I'll just keep going. We'll see what happens. And I think a very big, big, big part to why we as women want to have things under control is, well, there's many different layers to this, but one of the things that I hear oftentimes whenever I'm listening to David Data's work and John is that there are tens of thousands of years that women have been burned, killed, raped, sold, stoned, abused, abandoned, starved, all these different things. That is our lineage, right? And that pain point doesn't just go away because someone decides to write a good book, or that pain point doesn't go away because a government rule changes. It doesn't just go away because we have more freedoms and rights. It is still in our bodies. It is from our grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and so on, for as long as the human existence has really been around. So our nervous system doesn't know it's safe. We must give ourselves compassion, because our nervous systems, we are just a little tiny blip in the line of women that are going to come forward, the women that are going to come after us. The deeper we go, the better, because the next generation, the next line of women, they'll go deeper and deeper and deeper until the nervous systems are cleared. And we've done so much work that there's still going to be pain points in our bodies, and there's still going to be ancestral healing that is done. But the deeper we allow ourselves to go, the better we are doing that healing work for the women who come after us, so that they don't feel they have to be under control. Because the pendulum is swinging there in so many different ways. We're swinging from the tens of thousands of women in that pain point going forward, and we're learning how to heal ourselves. But we're also on a micro level going from watching even the past our parents, our parents' parents, and the generation before that, we are looking at how women, because that was an era really of staying at home, right? And which is totally fine and all good. And secretly, I kind of want to have that life. Sounds really, I'm all about that. But I think that we, a lot of us have watched women before us not have careers and not be able to have careers or voices. I know that I was raised in a very Christian household where the rules and laws of wives submit to your husbands was very present. And it was really put into my head as a kid that the man brings home the bacon. Like, I didn't even know I could create my own job or be a coach or like be the breadwinner in my relationships. I had no idea. It was not told to me in my fairy tales when I was a kid. So also on this more micro level, we're watching generations that in some ways we're looking at the workplace here, because I'm not saying that they were powerless in any way. I mean, I think my mom, with her energy and her charisma, really led my dad in many different ways. But in the workplace, we didn't see that. Not many of us, some of us, but not all of us. And so the pendulum is swinging in that way, where there's been this blissful, beautiful, much needed feminine movement of the women rising and girl boss and boss babes and mompreneurs and all these things, which we need. And also, I believe there is a middle ground, an energetic agility, because we don't want to turn off the parts of us that want to surrender and want to let go and not have to have all of our shit together. And we're just figuring out our way, I think, of learning what harmony feels really, really good for us on an individual level, because the way I'm going to be an alpha female is very different from my neighbor or from you or from my mother. Like, we're all going to have to find our own unique balance and bliss. But I know that letting go of control is very often a pathway for me to go deeper into my gifts as a woman. The more I can let go of control, the more my partner, the masculine partner that I crave and I'm calling in, will have room. If I'm filling that role in that space, he won't have room for his unique gifts, or we'll both be in the alpha role, which is totally possible. But typically, there needs to be a gap that is crossed for there to be sexual polarity and fireworks. And it doesn't mean it needs to be crossed every day. And that's why we have agility, where we can go into these states of letting go of control, so that we, as two different individuals, can take opposite poles of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we go into agility, talk to me about, is there a confusion? So you talked to us about containers and creating containers. Is there a confusion in the world of us using control because we think that's creating the container that we need?
Yes. Yes. So a container is not rigid. I'll give a beautiful example. I mean, I gave one earlier about, hey, we're going out at 7 o'clock, be ready, I'll pick you up. Like, that is a container, but
it's not rigid. It can change.
It can change. Yeah. It can definitely change. Okay. But we don't really want it to change, because then sometimes trust can be lost. So it's more of like an energy of the way it is presented. Like, if someone says, I'll pick you up at 7, and they simply don't, and you don't hear from them, that is when trust is lost. When they show up at 7:20 and there's no heads up. If we want to have a container that's flexible, you do it with communication. And that's how you keep the trust and you keep the container and you keep the safety. It's more about the communication than it is about the thing. So when you say, hey, baby, plans have changed. It's now 7:20. Be ready. Be outside at 7:20. I can't wait to see you. Oh, like, that feels really good. Like, we didn't have to go like detective mode to find out where you are. Like, our nervous systems are still relaxed. And the way we can do this in ourselves, because we want to bring it back to how this works within us, is that, let's say we are a being that is really craving to feel our emotions, and we just don't have time or space or a container for it. No one's setting a container for it. We just need to get away. a really beautiful practice that someone can do in order to make space for their feminine to feel is to set a container such as family, tomorrow night, you got to ask me all your questions, everything you need to know, ask me before 7 p.m. Because 7 to 10, mommy is going to be taking a bath, doing her thing, reading her magazines, drinking a glass of wine, she's doing her thing. You can go to daddy during those times, or you can go to the babysitter during those times. But 7 to 10 is mommy's time. And like setting that container and then you sticking to it, if there is an emergency, you will probably need to go take care of that, but also with your sovereignty, right? It's not, oh, I have to take care of this. No one listens to me. You will want to do it with your sovereignty, saying, okay, I am taking ownership of this happening. I'm going to go help and aid the situation. And I'm not going to let my energy of having this me night shift into victim mode, like something was taken from me, because I always have this capability again. I can always get that hour again if I set that masculine container again. So it is still up to you to come back to it. Too often we say, oh, that was taken from me. Fine. All right. I don't get it again. You're still in control. Like you paused it, but you can always come back to that and your flow. It's optimal if you can have this time to yourself, but emergencies do happen when you have a family.
Mm-hmm. I think it's such an interesting practice for us to implement in our lives is the difference between container, boundary creation, and control. Because I definitely see it in the boundary conversations that are going on in social media and podcasts, or people are talking about creating boundaries, and they are beautiful boundaries, but it's almost like too overt in the controlling aspect, and it seems so much in the wounded energy versus just the unapologetic no, or the loving no that we've talked about on this show before, versus just like the angry no, like, no, I don't have time for you. So it's a delicate, I'm going to say balance, although I try to not use that word on the show. It's a delicate balance between, or like a line that can be easily crossed into one area versus the other.
Can I add something here?
Of course.
I think one of the reasons why people go in, and I use the word victim mode, because I do think it is like the world is out to get you. And that's what victim mode means to me. And I think people can easily go into victim mode when a boundary isn't listened to, because they didn't think, or they were counting on no not being a response or an answer on the other end. So maybe they'll set a boundary like, hey, here's what I desire. And the other person on the receiving end, they're the ones saying no, right? And then they go into the victim mode like, oh, well, that boundary was taken from me. I wanted to have it, but now I can't have it anymore because they said no. And like, it's just trigger layered on trigger, right? So you're being triggered by someone else saying no, because deep down you don't believe no is an okay answer because you're not using it, right? Like, and we have to remember that when we set these boundaries, it is about us. It's always a self boundary. Every boundary is a self boundary. I don't think there is such a thing as a boundary outside of you. It's like, when I took a hiatus talking to some people in my familia, and did they listen to that? No way. They used every tactic to pull me back in. And it was one of the hardest things I'd ever done ever, but I needed some silence and a break. And it doesn't mean it was easy. I didn't hear, yes, Madeline, like, we appreciate and respect your bound. Like, no, I didn't get that. And it made it harder, and it made it more painful, but that took me deeper, and it made me have to set the stronger boundary. So I ended up doing all the work, and that's why I got all the healing in the end. And that relationship is fluid and blissful and great because I went there. And that's what we must remember, is every time we set these boundaries, like, we have to understand they need to be through love and through the self.
Okay. Cool. So now let's dive into agility. And do you call it energetic agility or emotional agility?
So energetic agility is something that I learned from someone else who trains in the lineage of Deva Data. She wrote a fabulous book called The Awakened Woman's Guide to Everlasting Love. Her name is London Angel Winters. And they typically like to use her and her partner typically like to use alpha and omega as well, because that feels better to them than masculine and feminine. But they talk about the three different states you can be in with a partner. So now we are kind of going outside of just ourselves, though. I mean, this does work within ourselves, but for the sake of this, alpha, omega, omega, alpha, omega. And so alpha, alpha is basically like your power couple. You're both building businesses, maybe together. You're killing it at the gym. You have your goals together. But typically what happens in this kind of relationship, even though you're climbing the money ladder together, you're taking names, like you're living this awesome, badass life, sometimes in this kind of relationship dynamic, because there is no literal polarity, one end of the spectrum on each, there's no bridge to cross. And so you might plan this beautiful vacation together and end up on the beach and have no sparks flying. It's like you're still in business mode. No one has let go energetically and gone to this deep state of energetic bliss. You're still like on point with purpose. You're both purpose driven in every moment. And then there's omega omega, which is like the best friendship. Like we do everything together. We have so much fun together. We laugh, we play games, we go to the movies. Like it's so much fun. Like, what do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? Like no one is taking the alpha role. So you're having a blast, but it's not that sexy. Like you're both on the same wavelength of the receptivity, the surrender. No one is taking that energetic purpose role. And you're both kind of more in like the love role, which is can be fun and great. But again, there's no bridge to cross. And so in alpha omega, there is this awesome, sexy, saucy, like contrast between deep consciousness and nothingness, and like almost like a sexy stoic. I kind of like stoic. Other people might not like that word, but I like it. Like this, like, oh, like deep gazing, thick energy that's just ooey gooey and depthful, like meditation. And then there's the other end of the spectrum, which is energy, love, light, pleasure, bliss, moaning when you eat chocolate, like go, like just all the good things. And it's so different. That is where I think it's true that opposites attract. And do we want to be in one of these three all the time? No. That's the great thing, that we can be in an omega omega relationship. But the minute one person decides to out omega the other one, you create, you are now in control. Even if you are going into the feminine, you are the one in control in this situation, because you're deciding to out omega the other person. It's going to put them into alpha. They won't realize it, but it makes them go in there.
It's like efforting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can be pretty hard. Like if you're really someone who easily takes control and has pride in your ability to decide where to eat, where to go, what to do, it's not going to be the easiest practice for you to say, I don't know, like, and consistently say, I don't know until they make the choices. It's humbling, but that's what I was saying at the beginning of this interview. What does the moment need? Do you need more distance between your two energies, more polarity? That if you're the one that realizes it and you're going to take that control and that power, you're going to want be the one that goes into the out omega-ing typically. That's how it goes. If someone really understands how to go deeper into alpha, you can. I just noticed that sometimes the other partner will easily go along with the alpha too. And there might be a little bit of not competition, but like, oh, you're rising to make decisions, so will I. So out omega-ing is typically the more powerful is not the word. I would say the more fluid path to take.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's get back to habits. What are some habits that you yourself do to be in masculine energy and then vice versa for feminine?
Habits.
Or routines or just like, yeah, rituals, whatever word sits best.
Recently, I have been loving massage oils and everything sensual. And yeah, like what I wear, I'm picking more sensual outfits, which is very new for me. Like If you've known me most of my life, you know that I sweatpants, like all these things. And I'm really taking the time to adorn my body and show my inner world outside of me. So wearing more colors is a big thing for me. I've actually bought workout outfits that describe who I am on the inside, and wearing earrings more and massage oils. So I take the time to really touch my body and doing even like abdomen massages with my crystal wands. My crystal wands are also my yoni wands. So like I'm pleasuring all parts of me with them. It's really intimate and really beautiful to like just use this. I have an obsidian one, which is really great for healing trauma and blocked energy. And it's just beautiful and thick. And I use that to get the massage oil deeper into my skin. And then I'm adoring my body. And then I also play mantras throughout my apartment just to clear the space. Like hearing mantras is very relaxing for me. It instantly puts me in a really receptive and slow movement pace. I cannot listen to mantras and go really fast. I can't. I don't think it's possible, actually. So those are my feminine practices as of late. It's really all around sensuality. And also, this has been one I've worked on for the past year and a half. And it's amazing, Robin, like the feedback I've received from when I go on dates or with people, any people really, that they keep telling me, wow, you have this energy to you. You have this energy. And what it is that I allow myself to reveal on my face how I feel about things. When I had heard about this and learned about this a year and a half ago, when I started working with my teachers, I was like, oh, that sounds weird and maybe even rude to like reveal on my face. But that has been the single biggest difference, because if the feminine is energy for me, like when I go out to eat on a date, I'm going to ooh and ah at the food, how it looks, how it tastes. Like I just reveal. And not only does it feel so amazing to me, but it lights up the person in front of me. Like, yeah, that is good. That does take, like, they receive something they wouldn't have received before, because I'm allowing myself to be embodied, really using my body to demonstrate how I feel about something. And sometimes that means yuck and rolling my eyes, but it is so amazing. And I can't let this interview come to a close without sharing that. It's so simple, and you can do it now. Like, anyone can do it. It's just revealing.
So it's not just the facial expression, but it's like exclaiming like the auditory signal as well as, yeah, and then like adding in hand expressions. Like, it's just allowing yourself to be more expressive.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I'm going to throw up my hands. I might put my hands on the person in front of me and shake them and be like, do you know how good this chocolate is? Like, if they don't like that, that's totally fine. Like, it's kind of different, but it feels so good to me. It's like a form of not abandoning myself, of just me at all costs revealing my heart.
Well, my corporate ladies and myself included listening, like, we probably hear that and we're like, yes, we're craving that, because we have to live in a box, or, you know, society, corporations have created boxes that you have to live in. How you act is expected a certain way. And so like, we just want to, let that like dissolve that box. So like an unhealthy container, and allow ourselves to actually be expressive. So that probably sounds so juicy to so many of the listeners, including myself.
Oh yeah. And so juicy to the world. I see so many smiles when I'm walking down the street and I'm singing my songs, which I used to not do that, but now I sing songs and people are just like, oh, that looks like a happy woman. I'm happy now. It's great. Okay. So for masculine, I would say for me recently, it's been really helpful, and these are very simple, but just like rooting my feet into the ground. When I'm brushing my teeth, when I'm cooking, I have a thing where I do not root my feet. I like sometimes cross my feet. I might have half my foot up, the other one half up, like kind of rolled. And I've been really noticing this, like, why do I constantly have this disconnect from the earth beneath me? So every time I'm standing, I try to connect with the earth. And this is depth. Remember, consciousness, depth, this like thick, deep consciousness. Like, I don't know what word it is. It's just like so deep and rich. And I can feel that when I'm connecting solidly, like a forest, like a thick forest that is unmoving. I want to do that with my feet and connecting deep. And then in deep breaths, very important for me is in the moments I'm feeling triggered or angry, wounded, taking very deep cleansing breaths, minimum of three, and then breath work from time to time. I haven't been as consistent because that's really hard work. But breath, like being in the masculine, it's very challenging. It can feel like burden sometimes, but going into my breath work and being consistent with it and setting that as a container, like, all right, it's not going to be forever, but for the next 2 minutes, I'm doing breath work and sticking with that and showing up for myself and holding myself in the discomfort. That's a masculine practice.
Do you always not only like hold a foot up, but like, do you step from one foot to the other? Like, do you feel like you're constantly moving, since feminine energy and working in feminine energy a lot allows for a lot of movement in your life?
I do. I think I very much have that. Yeah. In my body, it's not easy to consistently hold your body in this upright position or stand in this very calm position. I want to be moving all around. So that's been something really, really interesting for me to take note of without shame or blame, just realizing, why is my foot cross-legged? Half of my toes are up, like weirdest things that are so unconscious that I'm trying to cultivate. Yeah.
So before the masculine feminine energy series, we had a series on Ayurveda, and all I can think about is Vata versus Kapha. And so, you know, like Kaphas are very nurturing and caring, but are also very like, I think of like slow as one of the qualities or attributes of the Kapha dosha. So I do think of it very much as like a Kapha who is well balanced, is really well balanced in both of their energies, and a Vata imbalanced has a lot of feminine energy because they're flighty and always moving and dreaming and all over the place. And then a Pitta imbalanced is so much in their masculine energy because they're like, let me just get shit done, please. So it's kind of cool to bring that full circle and back into this conversation.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I love Ayurveda. So that's so cool that you did that series and can see how the similarities are overlapping here. I never thought about Kapha being a combination of this harmony between the two, but that's so true. That's really lovely.
Mm-hmm. Because the nurturing, caring aspect is so much a feminine energy quality. But they hold such a great container for so many other, like a Kapha dosha well balanced holds such a great container for a Vata or a Pitta. So that's kind of neat to see. All right. We're nearing the end of the episode, but there's a few questions that I definitely want to fit in. I always ask my guests, and I've changed the language this year. And especially for my feminine energy activators. If you could go back in time and hug your 20-year-old self and just wrap her in your arms, what would you whisper in her ear?
Oh, 20 years old. I was just getting into competing bodybuilding. I was eating a ridiculously low calorie meal plan. What did she need to hear? She needed to hear so many. I would tell her the sweet, sweet words of slow down. Slow down. I just remember how I just had this memory flashed in my head of me doing a gym workout where I was lifting, basically doing shoulder presses with this barbell. And I was going so fast that I hit my teeth and I chipped my front tooth, and it was awful. But then first thing, panic, anxiety, calling the dentist the minute I'm in there, like freaking out, getting my appointment for an hour later, going in there crying. Like, that is a metaphor for how I was back then. Just going, freaking out, anxious. And the words I needed then and the words I need now today is to slow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a former fitness competitor, I get you, because it was, you know, got to get up at 5 a.m., and get to the gym for the first workout, go to the office 9 to 5, get to the gym for cardio, go, like nonstop. And I'm still doing it in different aspects. And I catch myself all the time, like, babe, you're going to hit burnout again. Like, you know what you're doing. You know all the self-care tactics. But why are you pushing? Why are you not slowing down? And something hasn't clicked yet in terms of the, oh, and this is in your bio. You're a walking permission slip. Like something hasn't clicked yet that I can't give myself the permission yet to slow down. Something needs to heal, but at least I'm self-aware of it.
I was just going to say that is so powerful. And actually what's coming to me is that's very sovereign of you to say, hey, this isn't happening for me right now. And I see that. Okay. Keeping that in my radar instead of saying, why can't I do this? I can't slow down. Everyone is talking about like, that's amazing. And I just think that's so wonderful and so powerful. And in the right time, the slowing down will come.
It just hits a point where I have to not think about it as something that needs to be fixed, because that's also something that I believe alpha females can get really obsessed with is, and my next question is, I'm always asking my guests, like, what is something you're problem solving for? Because we're obsessed with fixing. We're obsessed with that not being complacent can go borderline obsession towards thinking we're broken versus just wanting to grow. Yeah. Okay. Well, this has been absolutely amazing. My mind is completely blown. I love talking to you. So will you leave our listeners with my very favorite last question of the show? But what is your definition of happiness?
Oh, that's so hard. That's the hardest question of them all. Oh, my definition of happiness. Oh, sweet, sweet happiness. I would say, what happiness is to me is living more in the body and less in the brain. Like, that's what it is. When I am my happiness, when I let pleasure, intuition, God, bliss, guide me. And all of that lives within my body and my wisdom. And yeah, that's what I'll say about that. And also, I just wanted to add that I definitely very much feel like an alpha female. I started this podcast thinking when you asked that question of like, how are you an alpha female? I was like, I don't know. Alpha feels, I don't know. And now that I've just like talked through this, I'm like, I am 100% an alpha female. And I something about that question, maybe like, I don't know what it was, but it felt like, can I say I'm an alpha? Like, of course I am. I've got my own like 6-figure business and I live alone and I take names and I'm constantly doing all this stuff and it feels really good. And I just want to acknowledge that those two words, like 110%, that is me. And I'm owning that. So thank you. You're welcome. For guiding me into that.
You know what I love is that, and this is why this show lights me up, is that one of us, like whether it's me or the guest or the listener, someone has figured something out. And by sharing our thoughts and our opinions, we always give other people the permission slip to actually recognize something about themselves that they maybe didn't see, or they've been, you know, pushing down, they haven't recognized. And I love how many people are like, oh, I'm not, oh yeah, I am an alpha female. Or like things like, I'm not broken. I don't need fixing. But it's just, it's giving all of these thoughts, and the message sometimes just needs to land a few different ways before someone has their aha moment.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
Love it. Thank you so much. If people want to get more of you, where can they find you?
You can find me at maddymoon.com, and that's M-A-D-D-Y moon.com. And I have my podcast. It's called Mind Body Musings. It's been around for over 5 years now, so plenty of episodes waiting for you on iTunes. And then I am all over Instagram at Madeline Moon, M-A-D-E-L-Y-N. And yeah, I just look forward to connecting with anyone that feels called to reach out.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Robin.
So after 3 years of recording the Alpha Female podcast, I did a thing. I created a Patreon page. So over the sabbatical from January to March, I started listening to the Sick Boy podcast. And they have the best way of telling their listeners to go support them on Patreon. And I realized after listening to them that there's no reason why I can't ask for your support. So hosting a podcast, putting a podcast out there can be expensive. If I were to total up all the expenses for the past 3 years, I would probably gulp looking at the total amount. Because hosting the podcast on Libsyn and using a podcast editor, those costs add up. So I am kindly asking you if you would support me by pledging to become a Patreon supporter of the Alpha Female Podcast. So you head over to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/Alpha Female Podcast. And there's different pledge areas or tiers. So you can pledge as little as $1 a month, as little as $3 a month. I've got a $5 one and a $10 one. So pledging $1 a month gets you access to our Alpha Female Pack Facebook group. If you pledge $3 a month, you'll get access to the Alpha Female Pack, a shout out on the show, and I would love to send you a doTERRA essential oil sample of your choice. So you get to pick from my entire collection what you'd like to try, and I'll send it over to you in the mail. If you pledge over $5 or more a month, I've got some pretty cool incentives. So you'll have to go and check out the page. And then especially for the $10, just check it out and let me know if those incentives make sense to you. This is my first time doing this, so I'd love to learn from you. If you even have your own Patreon page, let me know what type of edits you may want to see, and we'll go from there. So let's see how this works. Please support the show. I would very much appreciate it. For the listeners of the Alpha Female Podcast, Audible is now offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so you can check out their service. There's some amazing books like You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero or The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/alpha. Again, that's audibletrial.com/alpha for your free audiobook. This episode is sponsored by Four Sigmatic. It's the most popular mushroom product on the market, and I've actually been drinking their Shaga tea even before they sponsored the Tim Ferriss podcast. So I figured it was about time I got you guys a beautiful discount so you can snag your own mushroom coffee, tea, or hot cacao mix. I'm obsessed with the Shaga mushroom tea. I drink it in the afternoon for a really high dose of antioxidants. And then the hot cacao mix with reishi mushrooms is my favorite for an evening treat if I have a sweet tooth craving. So use the promo code ALPHAFEMALE at checkout for 10% off, and you can shop on their website at foursigmatic.com. Thank you for listening to the Alpha Female Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. And I would love you to eternity and back if you would be so kind to open your podcast app of choice. Go do it now before changing to the next episode. And just leave me a rating and review. It'll help other alpha females find this podcast and join in on the conversations. You can find more of me at robinbaldwin.com and join us next week for another inspiring chat. Have a spectacular day.